and this prayer. Holy God, startle us. Startle us with the amazing truth of this day, of a love stronger than even death itself. Amen. So what do you do when Easter falls on April Fool's Day? What you do is you share your favorite Easter card. Do we have that? You might have to look closely. You might need to explain it to the person next to you. There's actually there's a tradition within the Eastern Orthodox Church. The Eastern Orthodox Church actually celebrates Easter every year by telling jokes. That's their way of affirming God laughing in the face of death in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the affirmation and the promise of Easter. Suffering, darkness, death do not have the last word. God does. And God's word promised to us is of a love stronger than even death itself. A love that was just read from the book of Romans, from which we can never be separated. You know, Easter's all about hope. I don't know about you, I could use a little bit of hope these days. Anybody else could use an injection of hope? You know, hope's about the heart. Hope is defiant. Hope defiantly rises in the heart in spite of the state of our lives, in spite of the state of the world. You know, it's hope that allows us to persistently be a force of goodness when it's impossible to be optimistic. We need hope. A couple months ago, on February 14th, I got a news alert on my phone. Lately, I got to figure out how to turn that off. And it said, a school shooting in Parkland, Florida. Massive casualties. I'll confess, I went numb. Another school shooting? I was speechless. I just silently shook my head, and I thought to myself, this is what it feels like to just feel hopeless, to be trapped in this dark tomb, like you're living and reliving the same story again and again and again and again and again and again, and feeling like it's never going to be changed, that the stone is never going to be rolled away. It felt hopeless. Until something happened. Hope. The students of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, they somehow found the courage within them, they found something within them, and they were led by a young, remarkable, incredible young woman, Emma Gonzalez, who literally said BS to being hopeless. And these students, they weren't afraid to show us their tears, they weren't afraid to show us their pain, their anger, but somehow they found the courage to say, enough. We need a new story. Emma Gonzalez herself, she said these words, she said, we're not meant to live like this. We're not meant to die like this. We're meant for something greater. Now I want you to put your politics aside for a moment. Because I'm guessing among some of us already it came to the forefront. I want you to put your politics aside for a moment as whether or not you agree or disagree with the solutions that they're proposing for the gun violence. This isn't about that. You know, we need to talk about that. Let's talk about that. Let's have that difficult conversation, and let's really, truly try to listen to each other. But this isn't about that. On this Easter morning, just simply witness the spirit rising in these teenagers. On this Easter morning, just simply witness the hope rising in these traumatized teenagers who saw their classmates die before their very eyes. Something rose within them that gave them the courage and the hope to say, we refuse to stay trapped in this tomb of endless violence. We refuse to continue to live this story. We refuse to accept that this is the way it has to be. And they all said, we're meant for something greater than this. And then amazingly, miraculously, perhaps, in just over a month, millions of people, at least over a million, flooded the streets behind and beside those students. In a way saying, a new story is possible. We believe, we refuse to accept any longer that the stone can't be rolled away. A new story is possible. These students are saying a new story is possible for our lives and for our country. These students are saying love wins. Love always wins. And if love isn't winning, it just simply means the story isn't over yet. That's the promise of Easter. That's the hope rising in those students. Believe it or not, this morning, whether you realize it or not, that is the hope and the spirit that is desiring to rise within each and every one of us. The poet Pablo Neruda said, you can cut all the flowers, but you cannot keep spring from coming. Let the truth of those words kind of find their way into your heart, into your soul. Let the truth of those words vibrate in every cell of your being. You can cut all the flowers. You cannot keep spring from coming. I love Peter. I love Peter in John's gospel today. Peter is so unbelievably human, right? I mean, who among us doesn't know what it feels like to not live up to somebody's expectations? Worse, who among us knows what it feels like to not live up to our own expectations of ourselves? I'm guessing all of us at one time or another have felt ourselves trapped in this tomb of guilt and shame and disappointment and wondering if the stone sealing us in that tomb will ever be rolled away. Well, Jesus said to his followers, you're going to abandon me at my time of greatest need. Peter said, no way. Jesus, hey, they're going to run? I know they're going to run. But me, I'm in here for the long haul, baby. Well, he actually probably didn't say that. That's kind of how I imagine Peter saying it. Peter said to Jesus, I'll die with you. I will die with you if need be. And Jesus said, Peter, by the end of this night, you'll deny me three times, and a cock will crow. A few hours later, they came into the garden while Jesus was praying. He was betrayed with a kiss. They arrested him. They led him away. All of them. Peter, too, they slowly backed up as if not to be noticed. And then they turned and ran into the darkness of the night. Peter stood off at a distance and he watched them lead Jesus to the palace of the high priest to be interrogated. Three people came to him. Three different times. Hey, you, I know you. I recognize you. You're one of them. You're with him. Three times Peter said, no, not me. The third time he angrily said, hey, no, I told you, I never met the guy. And the cock crowed. You can carry the memory of something like that for a lifetime. Imagine the guilt, the shame. You know, I suspect that nothing dries up the soul more than relentless guilt and shame, and not able to see ourselves as we celebrated in this baptism, to see ourselves as God sees us. Peter assumed this now was my story. So Peter went back to the beach fishing. You know, when you're in the midst of tragedy, grief, you yearn for the familiar. So he goes back to his old life on the beach fishing, assuming that all of the hope of a new life, a new story, gone. And the risen Christ showed up on that beach. The risen Christ always appears in our brokenness. Three times Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" Three times Peter said, "Yes, Jesus, Lord, you know I love you." Three times Peter said, Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Three times Peter betrayed Jesus. Jesus allowed all of that to be undone. Three times Jesus invited Peter into a new story. But notice what Jesus didn't say. He didn't do what I would have done. Told you so. He didn't blame and shame. There was no finger pointing. There was just grace. You know, the risen Christ never comes with condemnation, never comes with judgment, never comes with shame. Just forgiveness, mercy, love for Peter, for you, right now. The risen Christ appears to Peter in his brokenness and invites him into a new story. The risen Christ says to Peter, "Peter, I love you. I believe in you. Go. There's work to do. Feed my sheep." The story isn't over yet. You know, all through Lent, we've been focusing on the Japanese ancient art of kintsugi. And this pot you see right here with the flowers, the plants, I mean, this pot here on Ash Wednesday was kind of strewn across here in broken pieces. All through this Lent, we've been restoring it. You've added prayers on pieces of paper that have become part of that restoration. We haven't been trying to put it back together again. We've been making something new, stronger, more beautiful. In fact, the pot has a new story to tell. The ancient art of kintsugi takes cracked pottery and puts gold in the cracks. That's Easter. That's that there's nothing and no one beyond redemption, nothing and no one beyond healing. There is no one so broken that they can't be restored, no one so shattered that you can't be repaired. Love wins. In 1994, the kids were fantastic, weren't they? In 1994, the children's choir of Goshen United Methodist Church of Piedmont, Alabama, they were singing during the Palm Sunday service in Alabama when a tornado, without warning, hit the church. Killed 19 people in that church. 86 people injured. The entire church destroyed. One of the persons who did not survive was the 4-year-old daughter of the pastor, Pastor Kelly Clem, her daughter Hannah. The next day, a reporter insensitively asked the pastor, "Pastor Kelly, has this tragedy, this tornado, shattered your faith?" And Pastor Kelly, trying to muster up some response, said, "It hasn't shattered my faith. I hold on to my faith." And she kind of broke down a little bit, said, "No, actually, my faith is holding on to me. The people of Goshen are holding on to each other. We're hoping one day we can rebuild externally and internally. And she said the incomprehensible grief that we're all experiencing is now part of our sacred story, will always be part of our sacred story. But we trust in a God who refuses to allow it to be the end of the story. And she turns to the reporter and says, Easter's coming. That week, Pastor Kelly conducted funeral after funeral after funeral after funeral, including the funeral of her 4-year-old daughter. Imagine that. Later in the week, later in this awful week, members of the congregation began to call their pastor and said, Pastor Kelly, you've lost your daughter. We've lost our entire sanctuary. Surely, we're not going to celebrate Easter, are we? Are we having Easter this year? That Easter morning, at the sunrise service, as the sun began to rise, every church in Piedmont abandoned their Easter plans to join Goshen United Methodist Church. Folks who wouldn't have even thought to go to church joined Goshen United Methodist Church. 1,000 people gathered in the lawn amongst the ruins and destruction of that church. With a bandage around her head, her arm in a brace, inconsolable grief breaking her heart, Pastor Kelly made her way to the makeshift pulpit. She opened the Bible and read these words from Romans 8. There is nothing in all creation. There is nothing in life or death that can ever separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And she looked up at her traumatized congregation. With tears streaming down her face, she said, suffering, death, and darkness do not have the last word, will not ever have the last word. God does. And it's a word of love stronger than even death itself. Love wins. And if love isn't winning, it just simply means the story isn't over yet. God, this very moment, could be picking up the chalk, drawing one letter more for you. God, this morning, could be calling your heart to be the one to pick up the chalk, to draw one letter more for the person next to you. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen and amen. The morning offering on this Easter morning, and to know that all of the offerings that we receive will go out these doors and to be an expression of a defiant hope in this town and in this world.